gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do.
Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
That's right. Saturday night on hour two of Speaking of Strange. I'm Vance Pollock, your host in the captain's seat for Joshua P. Warren. This hour, an important story to me. It's something that Josh and I dabbled in a few years past. This time it's going to be done right from the looks of things. I've sampled some stills shared with me by our guest, hour two. This is the hour we're going to discuss Conquest of Canaan, film shot in Asheville in 1921. And our special guest to help discover some of the mystery and details, the minutiae of Conquest of Canaan, is local silent film buff. And I think that may be putting it lightly. Frank Thompson, how are you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great. Great to be here. Thanks.
Welcome to Speaking of Strange. Yeah, it was rather fortuitous because just a couple weeks ago, Shelley and I were telling a story about a little museum we had set up in a space on Marjorie Street just behind Pax Tavern, where we were showing on a loop some clips from Conquest of Canaan. Josh was fascinated by the film, had been for years. Josh was a close friend of Bill Banner, who is a local broadcasting pioneer, the late, great Bill Banner. Worked at WLOS, had a passion for Asheville history, and sought out all he could about the film. And from what I gather, was one of the first folks in the modern era, at least, to discover or care that there was a print of this film in the Russian archives, and retrieved that footage some, what, 30 years or so ago?
1988.
Okay. So, what is, I know there is a lot of inaccuracy, to put it lightly, when discussing the film Conquest of Canaan. First and foremost, probably, is to refer to it as Asheville's first motion picture, which is believable enough to most people.
Sure.
We're pushing 100 years. But there were other films shot around Asheville before
Conquest of Canaan. Anytime I hear anybody say that it's Asheville's first film, I always say, well, 51st is closer to it. Movies were made in Asheville from 1900, which is almost as soon as you could start making movies, only about 5 years since the first projected films. The first dramatic films, all those from 1900 on, they were called actualities or newsreels. They were just pictures.
They weren't dramas.
No. But the first dramas were in 1914. The Edison Company came and made five or six films. One of them is a little iffy, but we know they made five. And from then on, hardly a year goes by without two or three film companies coming into town and making another feature. So by the time Conquest of Canaan was made in March of 1921, there'd been a slew of feature films made in Asheville.
Okay. What would the original running time of Conquest of Canaan been?
We know that it was seven reels, And that in the Silent Days doesn't tell you exactly how long because there's a lot of variables in there.
Okay.
Too many to go into. But the print we now have is almost exactly 70 minutes. And it's missing a little bit, but it's only missing shots. It's not missing entire scenes.
Okay.
So there are little things that are missing, but I don't know that watching it for the first time, much of that is going to occur to you.
So what you have now and what you're going to screen tomorrow night at Grail Movie House,
yeah,
the narrative is intact.
Sure.
I mean, the storyline, you can follow it.
Absolutely.
Because up till now, all I've seen is just pastiche, you know, no logic to the arrangement of the footage, but you've got something that is going to tell the story very similar to what people saw 95 years ago.
We will never know exactly what that looked like because we only have the one print to go from.
Sure.
And we don't have a shooting script. We have a first draft script from early 1921, late 1920, which doesn't bear much resemblance to the film as we now know it. So when we got this digital copy from Russia in 2010, it still had all the Russian intertitles. And so what I had to do is get that, all those titles translated from Russian, and then I had to retranslate the translations because when you go from English to Russian and back to English, it's a little bit like a game of telephone. And so it comes out kind of wonky. So I had to spend a lot of time with Booth Tarkington's novel, with three or four treatments that exist and this one script. And every time I found something in the script that fit the situation, I would use it word for word.
Right.
Sometimes I would just have to do the best I could. The trouble is that the Russians took out a lot of titles that they didn't replace with their own titles.
Okay.
And so there are a couple of scenes in the film where people are having a conversation, nothing. They're just people talking to each other. You know there's something that you should be knowing about what they're saying, but it's just not there. And unfortunately, those scenes are different enough from what's in the book that I couldn't even make a guess on what it is. So I just decided to leave them like that and then hope that the exposure of the film will someday lead us to finding a script somewhere. But boy, I've looked everywhere.
Okay. Well, for listeners, Conquest of Canaan, shot in Asheville in 1921, based on the novel by Booth Tarkington, who mm-hmm. was a very famous novelist
yeah.
of his day, a name that you don't hear much anymore, but certainly was a very popular novelist at the time. Something that occurred to me, because I did a little bit of scholarship into silent film. I was fascinated by it when I was in college, and I came across a few scenarists or screenwriters who had written years after the silent era about their experiences, H.H. Van Loan, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, along about 1920 or so, some of these screenwriters got marquee billing right along with the stars, considered the dramatists. They were equally as significant as some of the stars in the films in those
sometimes,
days.
Sometimes, especially the novelist who wrote the original work.
Right.
Because Booth Tarkington was a best-selling novelist. He was like Stephen King, except he didn't write scary things. But he was very, very popular and sold a lot of books. So it would make sense to put his name very big in the publicity.
A synopsis of the story. Now, maybe you can elaborate a little bit, but from what I gather, and I have read the Booth Tarkington novel, it's been a few years, a local boy falls in love with a local girl, is kind of on the outs with some of the local bigwigs, goes away studies law comes back and takes on the local Good Old Boys Network.
Kind of. The important thing in the plot is that he doesn't fall in love with the girl until he comes back.
Okay.
She's always loved him, but he is in love with another woman. And so she inherits a fortune. She and her father go off to Paris, and then he's left alone in town, and he's a pariah, and then goes up. In the movie, goes to New York. In the book, goes to Chicago, and studies law, and then comes back. The thing is, in the book, it makes it clear that 6 years have passed by the time he comes back. In the movie, it looks like he goes to New York for a while, studies some law, comes back. It looks like it's a week later, you know, but there's never really any clear thing about that. But, yeah, that's basically it in a nutshell. There's this basically a boss who runs Canaan, Indiana, and he's always made life hard for our hero, and Joe Loudon comes back, starts defending the underdog, and then goes after the corrupt town officials.
Now, I gave a little introduction when Josh screened this for a small group. Well, I'd say there were maybe 100 people came out for a screening that Josh did of just some clips a few years ago, but I gave a short presentation. And one point that I wanted to bring up is that between 1921 and, say, 1929, the crash, the face of Asheville changed more than it did in the next 75 years, because the 1920s were such a boom era, and the face of Asheville was changing. Very prominent buildings featured in the film are unknown to anyone living today unless they've studied old photographs and things like that. The old City Hall Fire Department Market, which sat at the back of Pack Square in front of where Jackson Building is now. The W.O. Wolf, Thomas Wolfe's father's monument shop, which sat where the Jackson Building is now. Basically, I think the footprint is very similar to the Wolf Building. I'm sure they had to do some additional engineering and things like that to put a skyscraper up. But if you look at the photographs of the stairwell going down to a lunch counter, you could imagine you're doing the same thing when you go into the Jackson Underground, a little sandwich shop down there today.
Yeah.
The old First Baptist Church on the corner of Spruce and College Street. Well, the old City Hall and the old First Baptist Church, both built by the Wills Brothers architectural firm. One day I'll have to tell a story about A.J. Wills on here, because he was also interested in spiritualism and things that some of our listeners are quite fond of. Folks, we're learning from Frank Thompson about Conquest of Canaan, the film shot here in Asheville in 1921, and which will be screening for the public tomorrow night at Grail Movie House. You got two screenings going on.
Two, 7 p.m. and 9:20 p.m.
Excellent. We'll learn more after this break.
So far, you don't have a record with us. You're standing pretty close to the horse's head right now. You've been mugged and fingerprinted. You're taped. You can change names, routes, cars. But eventually, we'll nab you. Sure, there's nothing you want to tell me?
Yeah, I got one thing to tell you. I reckon you can do all you say. When first you got to catch me. If you can.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. Joshua P. Warren, Speaking of Strange. I'm Vance Pollock in the pilot seat, joined this hour by Frank Thompson, local silent film authority, talking about a special event that you folks need to get out to tomorrow night. That is a public screening of Conquest of Canaan, shot here in Asheville in 1921, showing you a face of Asheville that may have been known to your grandparents and great-grandparents, but I dare say there are few folks living who recognize the Asheville portrayed in that film. We just heard Ouroboros Boys. I want to give a shout-out to local Dark Surf, or sometimes what I call Sinister Surf band, Ouroboros Boys. As a matter of fact, Nick from Ouroboros Boys is the first person to introduce me to Andrew Fletcher. I had seen Andrew Fletcher with the Firecracker Jazz Band. I knew him by reputation, but the first time I ever shook hands with Andrew Fletcher, it's when Nick from Ouroboros Boys, who we just heard, introduced the two of us not so long ago, maybe last year. Time flies. But Ouroboros Boys, of course, on that clip, Cowboy Raleigh, they used a bit of audio from another classic Asheville film, 1958, a little more modern film, Thunder Road, featuring Robert Mitchum. I guess Robert Mitchum also directed that film. That's a classic. A little bit outside your wheelhouse. You're not interested in the new stuff, or you know Thunder Road quite well?
I'm interested in everything. I know Thunder Road frame by frame. It was directed by Arthur Ripley.
Okay.
Who had been in movies from the beginning. It was at Senate, and there's a long story connected with Arthur Ripley and how Mitchum got connected with him for a film version of Look Homeward, Angel that Ripley had everybody in Hollywood begging to play in, and then it never got made.
Oh,
but he
wow.
shot for 4 weeks, 2 weeks in Asheville and in Chapel Hill, and then it just went away.
No, then, no surviving footage or anything has ever been seen. Stills.
I can't find any.
Oh my goodness!
There are 6 photos in the Chapel Hill yearbook from 1945, I think, and that's the only pictures I've ever seen.
Oh, it was that early.
Yeah, he started in 44. It was still going like in 48.
Working title: Look Homeward, Angel.
It was always Look Homeward, Angel, and David O. Selznick took it on for a while. It was going all over the place. But because of that experience, when Mitchum started to make Thunder Road, Arthur Ripley was his first choice as director.
Okay.
And Ripley hadn't directed in years. So it's an interesting story. There's a lot to that story.
Yeah, fascinating. I think working title on that one was The Whippoorwill.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Keeley Smith sang a track, The Whippoorwill, which is a rather haunting tune. I play it occasionally.
Well, Thunder Road has something in common with Conquest of Canaan in that they're both shot on the streets of Asheville, and yet neither one is set in Asheville. So every once in a while, in Thunder Road, they'll mention they're in Memphis. You go, no, wait a minute. They're on Tunnel Road. They're not in Memphis. But it's the same thing with Conquest of Canaan because it takes place in Indiana. And it doesn't take place in Asheville at all. But when you look at it, all you can see is Asheville.
One thing I noticed is that the Vance Monument, which is very prominent landmark in Asheville, is purposely out of shot in Conquest of Canaan. So it doesn't betray itself as Asheville. So much. Of course, everybody here at Asheville knew it was in Asheville. Seems like in those days it was a big pitch to say, you know, a cast of thousands or whatever. And Conquest of Canaan has this big crowd scene that was shot on Pac Square. You probably know the exact dates that they did the shooting on Pac Square.
I do indeed. There were actually 3 separate mob scenes. All their publicity, and you see it in newspaper articles even to the present day, that said that they had 6,000 people in the film. I find that real hard to believe. But it could be that if you add up everybody who showed up every single day of shooting, it might come to 6,000. I don't know. But still very impressive scenes on Peck Square with these mobs running around. And one mob is dedicated only to chasing a dog with a tin can tied to its tail. And then the other two are related to the plot of the climactic courtroom scene.
Andrew Fletcher is going to be doing live piano accompaniment to the screenings tomorrow night. Again, those are going to be at Grail Movie House. Do you have the street numbers for Grail Movie House?
Sure, I do. It's at 45 South French Broad Avenue. And in the evenings and weekends, there's free parking across the street, so parking's never a problem there. I go to Grail all the time, so I'm really proud that this is showing there. As a matter of fact, it was they were the only people I talked to about it when I started getting this thing ready to show.
All right. So tomorrow night, that's Sunday night, and you've added a second second showing. So you've got a 7 o'clock.
And 9:20.
A 7 p.m. and 9:20. That's tomorrow,
and
Sunday
night. And before the feature, both times, we're showing Buster Keaton's The Playhouse, which is also shot in 1921, because I thought a good comedy short would be good, and it still brings the program to just about 90 minutes. So,
Andrew's done some other live film scoring. I just Googled it and found out that he had played along with The Kid and a number of other shorts. I don't know. It may be a lot more extensive than that. I think the article I pulled was from a couple years ago he was doing this.
I'm looking forward to it.
Is it original stuff that he's composed for it, or is he following?
That's what I understand. Okay. I haven't heard any of it. So.
Very, very cool.
So we'll see tomorrow night.
When the film was originally screened, did the reels show up with some sheet music or some suggested music, or was it pretty much up to the local folks to decide what kind of soundtrack they wanted to do for it?
That's for The Conquest of Canaan. We have no evidence that there was a music provided.
Okay.
It played with an orchestra, because all the theaters in Nashville had orchestras. But generally in those days, the orchestra leader would compile music. And so, you know, if there's a romantic scene, he would pull something that he thought would be appropriate for that. If there's an action scene, so he'd pull from classical music, sometimes from popular music of the day, but not so much. Usually there would be libraries. I have a book from the teens called Motion Picture Moods, and it's piano music, but there's an index on either side of every page that just says pathos, tragedy, battle scene, fight scene, you know, love scene, and just goes all the way down the page.
So they could flip to whatever.
If it's just a pianist, you could do a lot of, you know, I'm sure they looked through it a little bit first and marked their pages so they could quickly get to it.
But, fascinating.
But most of the real theaters would have orchestras. You would very rarely, unless you were in a tiny town or in a little neighborhood place, you would have more than just a piano. That was like the bottom of the rung.
It's something I'm looking forward to seeing are the scenes of the streetcars, the trolleys. When a lot of people think of an Asheville that is no more, it's the street railway, which I guess was finished in about 1934 or along in the mid-30s. They quit running the streetcars and replaced them with the buses.
Yeah, there's only one in the movie because they put a sign on it that says Conquest Rapid Transit Service or Company, but the very first scene that they shot on March 9th, 1921, was Thomas Meehan getting on a streetcar at Broadway and Patton. And it's a high shot. I believe it's probably taken from George Mast's studio above Smith Drugstore, which is about 1.5 Biltmore Avenue. And so it's a high shot. And the great thing about it is you see all the trolley tracks going all over the place. And it's just this ribbons of them going everywhere. And it's really great to see because all that stuff is gone very quickly after this.
Right. Amazing to catch a glimpse of an Asheville that was and soon was to be no more. the streetcars. There's interior shots. Amazing. They've restored one of those out at Craggy Mountain Line near Woodfin. They have one of the later era Brill streetcars. But I let them know that there was interior footage from the streetcars. That alone was a selling point. Fascinating stuff. We'll continue to talk about Conquest of Canaan, 1921 motion picture. A big deal. Shot here in Asheville on Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, last week when I was researching for that H.P. Lovecraft segment, I read an interesting poem he had written about 1925 or so called Waste Paper. It was something that he obviously didn't intend to become his lasting literary legacy, but he writes in this poem of being haunted by the ghost of the man upstairs who he had murdered for singing 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the night. so that song, I had to look it up, and the era is almost right for the discussion of Conquest of Canaan, which was shot here in Asheville, 1921. And we are lucky to have an expert here in the studio with us, Frank Thompson. And tomorrow night at the Grail Movie House, 45 South French Broad.
45 South French Broad.
We got a 7 o'clock show and a 9:20 show. How much are tickets for that, Frank?
$15.
$15 well spent, folks. I would like to invite people who consider themselves local history buffs, especially people like me who are looking back at antique photos and trying to imagine what the city looked like 100 years ago, to come out and see that tomorrow night, because there are a couple of locations that are still giving you a little bit of a puzzler there.
There's driving me nuts.
There's a bridge scene. You sent me a couple stills from the bridge scene where the two main characters meet, and this bridge across a river, and there's canoeing going on just below the bridge. I would say the bridge is maybe
it's a low bridge.
It's very near the yeah. water level, and it's maybe 100 yards across or so. It's not as long as like a Smith Bridge or Pearson's Bridge or anything like that. It's not one of these broad places on the French Broad River. And it's got the iron truss or the steel bridge. And my first thought was that most of those local iron bridges, steel bridges, were destroyed in the 1916 flood and replaced by concrete bridges. But if anybody out there knows of any local bridges that still had the iron or steel, truss work in 1921, I'd love to see some pictures. I tried. I thought, oh, I can crack this for Frank. I can come in there, but no.
Nobody can. Nobody can.
There is always the outside possibility that this was shot someplace else.
It could be. When they finished shooting all the exteriors in Asheville, they returned to their Paramount Studios on Astoria, Long Island, and so they shot all the interiors there, most of the interiors. there are three or four real building interiors shot in Asheville. But there's a prominent location in the movie called the Beaver Beach Roadhouse, which is a bar kind of, you know, and it's still during Prohibition Day, so it's kind of a seedy place. And that one was driving me crazy for the longest time. And then one day, like happens sometimes, I find a two-sentence item in, I think, Moving Picture World from 1921, and it says, Conquest of Canaan is shooting the Beaver Beach scenes out of, on North Island on, North Beach on Long Island.
Okay.
And there are 150 extras. They're doing all the scenes there. So, so this bridge, very possible it's somewhere in New York, but I've sent it to a lot of New York movie people, silent film people, who would know the area quite well. And we've come up with nothing at all.
It was a Paramount picture.
Yeah. Famous Players Lasky, produced and distributed by Paramount.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was a big studio picture. And I think that's why when people think about it, because as we said earlier, people always are calling it the first movie, but it does have a more important distinction. It's the only silent film that survives from Asheville. There's only that one. There are 50-plus silent films made here during that time, and that's the only one that's left. And I think it was the first one that really invited the public to be a part of it, because they would put ads in the paper almost every day saying where they were shooting. They wanted people to come. Scene at the railway station out on Depot, where she's coming back into town. Doris Kenyon's coming back from Paris. There are several hundred people there on the platform watching the train come in, because they put a sign, put an ad in the paper that said, "We'll be there at 10 a.m. tomorrow, and join us." And for all the mob scenes, you know, come chase the dog on Pack Square, and so people would show up.
Fascinating. One news item that really attracted my attention, and I had hoped outside of hope that maybe, just maybe, I could get somewhere with this. There's reference to a gathering of Civil War veterans.
Yes.
And they actually shot some footage, mm-hmm. and it mentions in the article that this was outside the interests particularly of the film, but just for historical or posterity's.
Well, they were setting up in the courtroom, which was in the actual courthouse on College.
The 1903 courthouse.
Yeah. The exterior of the courthouse is actually City Hall in the movie, but they went into the real courthouse to shoot a scene. There was a murder trial that was just ending up at that time, the Slagle trial. There were three brothers who were being tried for murder. And it was just ending. I think one of them was convicted and the other two got probation or something. But they went to the jury and they said, "We're shooting this scene. Would you mind just sticking around?" And so they did. So when you watch the film, it's an actual jury that has just finished a murder trial being the jury in the climactic trial of the film. And the guy playing the judge is a Nashville attorney, and the guy playing the court clerk is the Asheville court clerk. So all these little bits of accidental documentary. And besides, I don't think there's any other footage of the inside of a courtroom in the city, in the Asheville or the Buncombe County courthouse.
I don't know of any photographs even inside of that courthouse. And another friend of mine who's a railroad buff, he mentions he's never seen interior photos of the old railway depot down on Depot Street. I know there are exterior scenes, but interior scenes at the depot.
No.
Interesting. Conquest of Canaan, 1921. What a different world. What a different town Asheville was at that time. Some of the people mentioned in the press accounts of the day that were notable, and I thought there may be a connection to this footage of the Civil War veterans. There was a fellow here by the name of S.A. Lynch,
mm-hmm.
Known as Diamond Lynch because of his interests in baseball. And S.A. Lynch owned the Princess Theater.
Yeah.
And the Princess Theater was on Northwest Pack Square.
You see it in the movie.
It's visible. Yeah. Yeah. You can see the Princess Theater in this
film. Were showing a serial called Fighting Fate when they were shooting that scene.
The richness of detail, it's incredible. S.A. Lynch owned a home in Kenilworth on Charles Avenue that was a big mansion, like a Tudor-style mansion that kids that used to wander around it when it was abandoned back in the 50s and 60s say that upstairs was like a huge ballroom and maybe a room towards the back, which could have been a projection room. Mm. He owned film theaters. I thought maybe Diamond Lynch had a private projection room upstairs in his mansion. Maybe somewhere in his family there is a private film collection that, some of this stuff survives. But that Diamond Lynch, Jake Wells, another fella who had a background in baseball. I think he was a popular shortstop around 1905. I couldn't tell you what team. But anyway, Jake Wells was a big hotel man and developer and big in vaudeville. Mr. Clean Entertainment, they called him. He built a hotel over in Hendersonville, and just a few years after filming Conquest of Canaan, he shows up on the set because apparently he was acquainted with Thomas Meehan.
Yeah.
And a few years after the filming of Conquest of Canaan, he shot himself, committed suicide in Henderson County. But fascinating people from another era, that's lost to so many of this generation. What do you think, does it require a certain mentality or attention span at least to appreciate a fine work of art, a silent film?
It's definitely a different kind of movie if people have never seen a silent film. I think they'll be surprised at how easy it is to watch, because I think a lot of people think for some reason that the acting is really exaggerated and over the top and all that stuff. It's not at all. It's they sometimes will have to punch a little bit just to get it across without saying anything. But acting is very naturalistic. It's beautifully shot. I don't see why anybody would not be fascinated by this if they have any interest in Asheville. Showing it here is going to be different than showing it anywhere else, because nobody else is going to have this knowledge of the city like we do. And so they're just going to be seeing it as a movie, which is perfectly fine. It's a good movie and all is well. But if you live here, you know the Pack Square, you know all these neighborhoods, it's really fascinating.
And I would invite input from any of our listeners who get out there to Grail Movie House tomorrow night for the 7 o'clock or the 9:30 show to send me their reactions, and maybe you can spot some places from your own historical diggings. We'll wind things up for the second hour of Speaking of Strange after this break. On a Saturday night, Speaking of Strange, and this hour we spent talking with Frank Thompson about Conquest of Canaan, shot here in Asheville in 1921, and we are lucky enough to have the majority of that footage, at least in a coherent form, that you are going to have the chance to see tomorrow night at Grill Movie House, 45 South French Broad Avenue. There's a 7 o'clock show and a 9:20 show. Tickets at the door, Frank?
I believe there will be tickets at the door. You can go to the Grail website, which is grailmoviehouse.com, and order them in advance if you want to. But I think if you just show up, at least for the 9:20 show, I think you'll probably be okay.
All right. And there are going to be some people out there who are film history buffs, and they really dig what we've gotten into here. They want to know a little bit more. Why, yes, Frank Thompson, Frank Thompson does have more for you to digest. You've done some writing, publishing.
Yeah, this is 40 books so far, and the next one is called Asheville Movies, Volume 1, The Silent Era. And I'm going to do two more books on Asheville films after that, but I'm finishing that one up right now.
I ran across your Facebook page, North Carolina Silent Films.
Yep.
Is something to that nature. If they search North Carolina Silent Films, they'll probably
find it.
Facebook group. Some great stills and promotional stuff, ads, all sorts of things, production stills. You had a really great one looking down Biltmore Avenue. You can see the Swannanoa Berkeley Hotel on one side and the trolley, number 58, coming up the street. Thomas Meehan, the lead man, stepping off of that streetcar. I had not seen that one before.
And reflectors everywhere because they had terrible weather the entire shoot.
Oh, so
and it was cloudy every single day. So
they really had to bring out the reflectors to try and cast enough light on the subject to shoot. Wow.
Yeah. In 1921, having electric lights outside, it was possible, but it wasn't done very much.
And of course, the big horns, the big cones, the directors are yelling through that are all so iconic, so associated with that era. They're everywhere in these production stills. Can you spot Arthur Cozine in any of the production stills?
I have no idea what Arthur Cozine looks like.
I've got a photo of him from about 1914 when he was when he was making some pictures for. Anyway, I'll send you some information.
Yeah, I'd like
to see that. This is beyond the scope of what. If we could go on for hours on the air, we would put every one of you to sleep
night. If I haven't put people to sleep, I'm not doing my job.
1921, folks. It'll be 100 years ago before you know it. And this movie survives. And thanks to the passion of people like Bill Banner and Frank Thompson, it's here in Asheville. And tomorrow night, Grail Movie House, again, at 7 p.m. and 9:20 p.m., your chance to see it, $15. Tickets on the Grail Movie House website or at the door. You're showing another short?
Yeah, we're showing that. Buster Keaton in The Playhouse, also a 1921 film. And if you've never seen it, prepare to have your mind blown. It's the most amazing thing. So
I want to draw it back maybe into the speciality or the fan base a little bit. Of course, we've got a lot of listeners to Speaking of Strange who love horror films. I just want to throw this one out there for you. Of course, the great Lon Chaney Sr. Your personal thoughts about London After Midnight.
Oh, geez.
Will it ever surface? Does it exist?
I hope not. I wrote a book called Lost Films, and I did a lot of radio when that book came out. And I used to take out a $5 bill because I would almost always have phone ins. And I would give the $5 bill to the guy interviewing me. And I would say, if nobody mentions London After Midnight, this $5 is yours. And I never gave the $5 bill away.
Here's your $5 bill back.
Ever.
London After Midnight.
I have no idea why that became the. There are thousands of lost films, thousands of American lost films. And why in the world that? Because I've seen the remake.
Do you even think it may be the most significant lost Lon Chaney film?
No, not even close.
What would you say your most. Most interesting lost Lon Chaney Sr. film could be.
I think
the makeup in that one really gets people. Just that iconic image of the frizzed out hair and the sharp teeth and the crazy, you know,
What they need to know is they've seen the still, and that's all that they're, that's all the good in that movie. I'm convinced, because Mark of the Vampire is a remake of it. Same director, Lon Chaney. Bela Lugosi is in Mark of the Vampire, and it's horrible. It's just horrible. And it has one of those trick endings, you know, is one of those where it's supernatural all the way through and they're only fooling at the end, which is my biggest pet peeve. Oh, God. I hate that kind of stuff. And London After Midnight was the same thing. If it never surfaces, I'm fine with that.
I hardly think it could live up to the hype after time. I think Forrest J. Ackerman hyped it by publishing photos in Famous Monsters. So yeah. All these kids growing up during the baby boom became fascinated
Absolutely.
With this lost film. But Conquest of Canaan, shot here in Nashville, 1921, it's not lost, and it's screening tomorrow night.
First theatrical screening since it was in Nashville in 1921.
Again, Grail Movie House, 45 South French Broad Avenue, 7 p.m. and 9:20 p.m. That's Sunday, January 22nd. Get out there and check it out. Frank, thanks so much for coming and hanging out with us.
It's been great to be here.
All right. You're welcome back anytime you got some mysteries
for us. Okay, I'll be tomorrow.
We'll be right back.